here at Sycamore Glen, we actually like to think of ourselves as a senior resort.
Every day is just like home. It is home. I love it here.
We encourage people to come down and visit us and to take a tour, to look around, to have lunch on us or dinner on us and experience Sycamore Glen. Not the lifestyle you need, but the lifestyle you've earned.
That's Sycamore Glen. For more information, call 894-0384.
Good morning, KKXX listeners. Welcome to Christ Today, your weekly encouraging, informative, lifting up show where we talk about the grace of God, the goodness of God, and the greatness of the things that He's doing in the lives of people in our area. And today we have Eric and Ty Wheaton from Richardson Springs Youth with the Mission Missionaries, and they are on our show today. So good morning, folks.
Morning.
Good morning.
So why don't we get started? As a reminder, a couple weeks ago we were going to have them on, and the show got that particular show didn't go through, so we're doing it again today. So why don't you guys tell us a little bit about who you guys are?
Sure. My name is Eric Wheaton, and this is my wife, Ty. And we are missionaries with YWAM out here in Chico, California. And we're out there at the Richardson Springs with our five children. And, we just love being here, we just can't wait to share about what God has been doing in our lives.
That's awesome. So, Ty, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got started?
In missions?
Yeah.
Well,
you're a little bit about your upbringing stuff.
Well, I got saved when I was 13. We had a very difficult life. My sisters and I were like leftover hippies, still living that life, drugs and alcohol. And so, you know, we were exposed to way too much, not really parented well. And when I met the Lord at 13, it was one of those situations where God had been pursuing me from the time I was a very small child. And I remember God revealing himself to me. I was probably about 9 years old, outside of our house. I was just staring at the stars. At the time, the light pollution wasn't so bad, and there were so many stars in the sky. And I was just absolutely amazed. I had never seen anything so beautiful. I don't know why the stars stood out that night to me, but I was rendered speechless, and I just had this incredible desire to just wanted those stars. And I longed for them, kind of like a child longs for Christmas Day. And I remember the longing for Christmas Day was the strongest thing I knew of Christmas morning, and the excitement of that. And it was stronger than the excitement of even that. And so I remember thinking to myself, you know, in order for me to go to those stars, I knew I had to die or become an astronaut. And that just becoming an astronaut and being adult was just like forever away to me. And I was like, I don't want to die. And at that moment, God spoke to my heart and he revealed to me that he was God and he created all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that I was right. In order to get to him, I'd have to go through the stars. And I was just, from that moment, I knew there was a God. No one had to tell me or preach to me anything. We did go to church, but it was only on Christmas or Easter. Sometimes on Mother's Day, if my mom was around, or we would go for my grandmother as a Mother's Day present for my grandmother. But other than that, I didn't, and it was just, you know, it was not much, there was not much getting through to me.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly after that, there were some missionaries that had come to our town from the Midwest, and they had this, a pastor had this vision to go into the inner city and build a church community or mission base and have people come in that didn't look like anyone living in that town. Our town was very multicultural, mm-hmm. but there weren't a lot of white people there that were not, that didn't work for the police station or the judicial system or the administrative businesses or the state administrative businesses downtown. And so they came into this community of, you know, Arabics, Asians, Caribbeans, Latins, of like this whole mix of all these different nationalities. And they would walk through our neighborhoods in the summertime playing a guitar, singing hymns or singing songs.
Mm-hmm.
And we would laugh at them and they'd go, "Oh, do you like my song? Why don't you follow me and sing with me?"
Mm.
And we would. We'd just jump up and before you know it, they'd have sometimes 25, 50, 100 people, including adults, following them through the neighborhood while they played their guitar like the Pied Piper, and everyone would be singing these really simple songs about Jesus.
Hmm.
Then they'd lead us back to this building, and we'd all sit on the floor, and they'd give us crackers or juice and cookies and begin to teach about these missionaries. A lot of them were teenagers. I would say young 18-year-olds or older.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them were very young, and they would begin to teach with us, teach us about Jesus.
That's awesome. So continue on wherever you guys would like to regarding what's next, what happened next.
Well, that was around my 9 or 10-year-old year, and then I got saved at 13.
Okay.
During that time, I realized it was one of those things. I remembered this Jesus. I remembered these missionaries. And I knew, at this point, I knew in order for me to get to this God, I had to go through Jesus.
Interesting.
And so I got saved, like radically saved at 13 years old. A lot of things that had, you know, I was exposed to a lot of things way too mm-hmm. much
mm-hmm.
As a child. And a lot of those things I got freedom from. Freedom particularly from the fear of death, which was one of the things I knew. I said, if I don't do something, either I'm going to kill someone or someone's going to kill me at 13.
Mm.
I just knew this, and it was just this fear that came over me. And I got saved at 13 in a church, filled with the Holy Spirit. Probably right afterwards, I received the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the manifestation of speaking in tongues. And the Lord began to teach me to hear him. And by the time I was 15 years old, I was, you know, preaching in my church, leading worship, and I had had a vision. And in that vision, I saw myself walking into a village with these dirty children running up to me, and it was a very poor area. And I was getting out of either a helicopter or a vehicle of some sort, and I heard the voice that I had known to be the Lord say, "Your children." And I pulled myself out of that vision and I said, "No, I don't want them. You promised me," like, I came from poverty. I came from living a life of no electricity and parents on drugs, and I was the poor, dirty kid. I don't want my children to be the poor, dirty kid. At that time, I had no idea about spiritual children. And so from that moment, you know, I stopped reading my Bible. I stopped praying, you know, because other than my religious, now I lay me down to sleep, or, you know, anything religious, I just said, I just want to get into heaven. I don't want to try to do this Holy Spirit stuff. And I tried to live my Christian life without the Holy Spirit.
You can't do that, can you?
I couldn't. Mm-hmm. So I was just wanting to live my life because now I no longer believe God was going to give me a good life.
Mm-hmm.
I did what I could do. I knew I was smart, so I was going to get educated and get out of the hood, get out of this urban life, and I was not going to have dirty kids.
Mm. Wow.
And now I look around at my kids. We live in the Richardson Spring Canyon, and they are always dirty because they're always playing in dirt.
Yeah.
So, but I ran from God and tried to, you know, be a good Christian, which 2 years after that, I wasn't even walking with the Lord. Like, you wouldn't have known I was a Christian.
Hmm.
And so I ran from the Lord to the extent where I was on the verge of renouncing him.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, like, I would be hurt. Like, you get hurt by sin, you get wounded. And I would sit there in my pain and I would hear the Lord say to me, "Why don't you try me? What did I ever do?" And I would bring up list after list. This Christian did that, and I tried this, and you want to give me dirty kids, and, you know, that would be, you know, the reason why I'd walk away. So I ended up, you know, I met my husband.
Interesting.
Yeah, our backgrounds were...
Please tell us.
Yeah, our backgrounds are completely different. You know, I grew up with my mother and father and my brothers, and my father was very hard, you know, 20 years, very hard worker, 20 years in the Army, 20 years at AT&T. So I grew up with that stability that everybody, you know, so-called, you know, desires out there. And my thing was, when I grew up, I went to a Catholic grammar school, Catholic high school, and everything, and went to church every Sunday. So it was completely opposite from Ty. But the one thing I lacked was that intimacy. I didn't have those deep conversations with the Lord, or the calling out to God or anything like that. I mean, growing up,
he had a religion.
Yeah, I mean, growing up in a private school for all your life, I knew about God, I knew about Jesus, so that wasn't the issue. You know, I knew what to do, but I didn't, you know, I was an acolyte. I mean, did all the right things growing up.
Religion, but no relationship.
Yeah, no relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until after we met that and moved to San Antonio that that's when I started developing the relationship with God.
How does that differ from, I'm trying to figure out my words, a little stumped here.
Well, what happened when in San Antonio, that's when I recommitted my life to the Lord, because I was in this place. I would do in the tightrope Christianity, and I knew if I went too far, I just kind of hung around the church and kind of flirted with the church just in case, you know. I knew there were some prophetic people there, and, you know, every once in a while, one of the mothers would come up to me and say, "What have you been doing in my prayer language? The Lord told me," and, you know, they would give me a warning, and I go, "Oh, I went a little too far, so let me come back," and, you know. But when I went to San Antonio, when we both went to San Antonio for a job move, I was just like, I don't have anyone to keep me off of death's door. I need to know this God for myself. I need to get back what I lost. And at that time, the Lord began to disciple us both in relationship at this church out there.
Cool.
And that ended up growing, and the more my relationship with him grew, the Lord gave us a miracle as a confirmation. I guess 7 months into that walk, we became pregnant with twins.
Hmm.
I became pregnant, and I was miscarrying those twins. They were dying.
Mm-hmm.
And God gave us a miracle. He gave me, I begin to, you know, read my Bible and have a regular prayer life, and I had never read in the book of Mark, you know, about... You know, I was, you know, I'm miscarrying this child, and I'm reading about the woman with the issue of blood, and I'm just reading this over and over about how she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and I had never read that story for myself. Mm. And so I'm reading it over and over. I'm calling the doctor, finding out, is there anything we can do to save these twins? I don't want to have a miscarriage. They're like, you're in the first trimester. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
One of them we know is dead. The living one, we are concerned that, you know, he may or may not make it, and, you know, we'll test that later on or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember a day later going, well, I asked her, well, can I at least go to church? And they said, you know, if you ran a marathon or laid down all day long, there's nothing we can do to save this baby.
Mm.
So I went to church that night, and the pastor's talking about the woman with the issue of blood. And,
which is a powerful testimony.
Very powerful. And she gave the history on it and how dangerous it was for her to defile a high priest like Jairus. And so that had been what I'd been reading for the past 2 days, you know. And so it activated my faith, because I had understanding through, you know, the teaching and, you know. And so that spoke to him as far as relationship as well. It was speaking to me about the importance of walking with the Holy Spirit and having that just having a conversation with the Lord. He's abiding with such a lofty term. I'm like, what is abide? Live in the Holy Spirit.
What does that mean?
It's just talking to God. That's what the Holy Spirit taught me to do from the time I was 13, was just talking to him.
But I mean, the word abiding in him, what does that mean to you?
Abiding is exactly, well, the word abide means to set up a dwelling place or to live. But what I learned that meant, or fellowship with the Holy Spirit meant, was literally just talking to the Holy Spirit.
And communication.
That's what he discipled me in. I mean, I told you I had a hard life, and I did not talk until I was 13. I spoke within my house somewhat, but I didn't speak publicly until I was 13, until I got saved. And so a lot of my communication, even within my house, was with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I was always talking to the Lord. And so the Lord brought me back to that when we moved to Texas. And so, you know, long story short, this dead child, the Lord told me to read on in Mark 5. And it talks about Jairus' daughter and how she was dead. And Jesus told her, Talitha kumi. And he said, okay, remember how I taught you when you were a kid, when you were being bullied, and I would have you pray these breath prayers called, and he would always have me say, the Lord is my shepherd, everywhere I went. And that was my breath prayer every second of the day. He said,
I want you protected.
Yeah, and it did. I was in fights all the time because I was quiet and I was an easy target. And so God removed that target, you know, but he said, remember I taught you breath prayers, the Lord is my shepherd. And I began to speak that over my body and my babies. And I went back to the doctors. They were seeing if I was, you know, if I still had the babies or if they needed to do anything else. And they saw two living babies there. And she was absolutely shocked, you know. And when I found that I was having a girl, you know, the Holy Spirit, the voice I came to know as God said, name her that. And so, you know, we have two twins amongst our five children, you know, but that spoke to our relationship, that spoke to us that a relationship with the Lord was so important, because if we had just had the going to church thing or just trying to get into heaven thing, hearing what to do as we were praying really was what saved.
Communication is key.
Communication with the Lord is very key.
Yeah, a lot of people, they just go to church or they, you know, they don't understand concepts and principles. And one of the principles is communicating. And not just talking to God, but hearing what he has to say and what he's speaking to us to, right?
Yeah, and like I said, I went to church as a child, going Christmas and Easter, sometimes Mother's Day. A lot of the teaching wasn't reaching my understanding. It was the Holy Spirit that taught me right from wrong. You know, we grew up in a house where, you know, I was told to do things that were, I thought were right, but the Holy Spirit began to teach me right from wrong, which I didn't know right from wrong. And so, you know, it's important to go to church. If I didn't go to church, I wouldn't have gotten that understanding that I needed to activate my faith. But
church is important, but church isn't the main thrust. It is an important thing that we should be in fellowship, but it's not the main thrust. But it is a key to the main thrust, which is communication with Christ.
And the pastors help give us understanding.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit teaches us how to walk it out. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened with me. But from that, Eric, he had his career, and I was determined to marry someone smart with a career, and I did.
Why don't you talk a little bit about your career, Eric?
Well, my career was being in investments for 18 years of my life, and just being involved in mutual funds and financial advisors and just anything and everything that has to do with the Wall Street and the investment community. That was my career. And so I always thought, when I saw that with the twins, let me back up. When I saw that with the twins, I really saw power, because I saw power of God and how he can save. He cares so much to save our twins. Mm-hmm. And after that encounter, Ty went on, I think she went full term with the twins.
Mm-hmm. And let me just say
that Talitha, which was kinda unheard of.
Talitha Kumi was what I spoke over myself and my babies for 4 days. Well, on the fourth day was...
Is that how Talitha got her name?
That's yes. How she got her name.
Talitha Kumi is Aramaic. It means damsel arise.
Mm-hmm.
Talitha means damsel in Aramaic. And I asked one of my Messianic Jewish friends, whose daughter's also name is Talitha, and I said, well, what do you know Talitha means? Does it have a Hebrew meaning?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, he understands it to mean sweetie pie. So Jesus basically went to Jairus' daughter in my mind's eye going, sweetie pie, get up. Yeah. But ahead, Eric.
No. So, I mean, all my life I've been around money and I've been around investments. And when I saw that power happen at that church, then I started to pay a little more attention to what was being taught from the pulpit during church.
So before that, you weren't really too focused. You weren't really too interested.
It was more about the career. It was more about being in San Antonio and the position that I was in. It was more about being the Joneses instead of trying to keep up. I wanted to be the Joneses, where people...
Edward Jones?
No.
Financial Edward Jones.
Edward Jones didn't have enough money for him.
Well, he's a financial guru of them.
Yeah, he is. And so... So I wanted to be that, and so it was all about money, it was all about success, it was all about investments. But when I saw that power released in Ty, it became more about, okay, what God does she know that I need to know? I should have a relationship with him as well. And so it was an amazing time period.
Okay, we're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
It's back! You thought you got rid of it, but it's back. It just won't leave you alone. The electricity bill is here. But this month is different. You did something about it. And ever since you made that one phone call to Tori with Vivint Solar, your bills are almost 50% less than before. And it cost you nothing to get started. No expensive equipment, no installation cost. Nothing. Just a call to Tori with Vivint Solar at 864-1111. For a free in-home evaluation, call Tori with Vivint Solar today at 864-1111 and take control of your electricity bill. 864-1111.
Okay, we are back with Christ Today, and we have Ty and Eric Wheaton in the studio with us. So once again, hello, folks.
Hello.
Hello.
So let's continue on where we stopped.
Okay. Yeah, I was mentioning that, I really saw the power in prayer. I saw the power that the Holy Spirit brought to Ty's situation, to our situation when she was pregnant with the twins. And, one thing I remember back then, too, is Ty was reading the Bible, and the pastor, it was a Wednesday, I believe, we went there. And the pastor spoke on that same chapter. So, I mean, right there, I was like, oh, my gosh, Ty just spent the last week studying this. And the pastor is talking on the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember Ty wanting to go up there after the service and to get prayed for. And so Ty did go up there, and she got prayed for. The pastor put her hand on her belly and prayed for the babies and the whole pregnancy. And, you know, it was just amazing again that how a pregnancy, when you're having twins, the expectation of going full term is not there. You always have that expectation of having premature birth and everything. But after that, Ty had no issues at all with her pregnancy, and she lasted the full term.
Yeah, I ended up getting induced, in fact. They didn't want to come out anymore.
Yeah. Mm. So it was just amazing seeing that. And so since I was in a world where I was basically managing salespeople, and it was our job to get brokers and financial planners to use our mutual funds. And so I was in that world of entertaining, traveling a lot, and going all over the country, you know, you got to stay at the best hotels, all that stuff. That when I saw that started becoming less important, you know, to me as a man, as a husband. And so God knows how you're wired. God knows how everybody's individually wired. You know, right now I'm wired with music. I just love music. Back then I was wired with investments and handling finances. And so I remember going to that church again in San Antonio. And I believe that church also opened up their books. Basically, they had like an annual, I don't know, where they brought their CPA in, and they showed, all right, this is how much we spent on, you know, the pastors, this is how much we spent on different curriculums, this is how much we spent on the youth. And I was like, wow, here is a church that is successful. They have a lot of people there, and you really feel, you know, loved there. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of fellowship going on, and they're not trying to hide anything. They're saying, here's all books, mm-hmm. you know, review it. We don't care. Because churches don't have to do that.
No, they don't.
And so I was just really blown away by that. And and that started, for myself, that started going on. I started going on a personal quest to really be a better father and a better husband to my family, because I really wasn't prior to that.
Now, before when we went to break, Ty, you said you wanted to talk about some. You want to continue?
Oh yeah. Well, what was happening between us was, as we were developing more of a relationship with the Lord, He began to put dreams in our heart, and I had always known how God will give you the desires of your heart. And during that time we were going to the church, it was we came back to God during the prosperity message thing, and which is a dangerous theology.
Yes,
if you're
is.
Not reading the Word of God.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we were getting, you know, very, very, we were being blessed a lot financially, but we again put down our Bibles, and things got a little bit distorted with us, because we began to realize, okay, God is not our Santa Claus. You know, He was blessing us financially a lot, but it was just empty.
Yeah,
because He began to dream in our hearts. And then we lost our businesses. He ended up going into business for himself as an independent advisor. And then I had on the side a jump house business, and we lost everything. I got pregnant with our fifth child. I went back into working, and I worked into property and casualty and insurance, and then God led us into the desert. You know, we were receiving these prophetic words that were good, but we went out to try to put them into place in our own strength, instead of taking that place of, okay, this is what we're hearing you're saying. God, what are you saying? First of all, confirm it with us.
Yeah,
and how are we supposed to take the steps to do it?
Mm-hmm.
We said, oh, we're going to be rich? All right, let's go help God and produce an Ishmael. And so we ended up getting sent into the desert, which and lost everything, which was the best thing that could have ever happened. I mean, it was painful to be on the verge of losing our house, to get our car repoed out of our driveway, and being sent to Arizona, where I hate heat.
Hmm.
And it was just,
you don't like the heat?
No, I'm enjoying Chico right now.
But Chico gets hot.
It does, but you get a break, unlike the desert. And so it was. We went to I had actually, in my heart, I was not I had basically in my heart divorced my husband, and the Lord had.
Why?
Because I felt like he failed us, you know.
How?
Where, you know, he started the businesses and, you know, dreams were being awakened in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was learning he was stepping out and doing things, you know, that he thought, you know, was God, that we thought were God, just thing we weren't praying and talking to God about it. And he wasn't able to provide for us like he was in the past. You know, and so God, he was out working in Arizona. I was still in Texas with our kids. And God said, go to Arizona with your husband. And when you're going to find a church, and I want you to stay in that church. Every time the doors open, all your family time, all the kids' activities are to be centered in this church.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we got to Arizona, God showed me the church that we were to go to in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up, and in fact, we lived next door to the people who the church wasn't. We never went for a year, and God kept pursuing us. Go to the church with these people, but I was judging the people, not realizing that church was in a revival.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went to this church, and just the power of God transformed our family. And we began to pray for God to give us his desires, give us the desires of his heart.
Mm-hmm.
Give us the desires of our heart, but we wanted his desires. We wanted, and we would ask God to take away anything, any desires that's built up out of our own, you know, ambition,
mm-hmm.
and for God to begin to dream. And the thing is, God, like Eric said, God knows how we're wired. He wired mm-hmm. us this way. We begin to have our desires, things that were already there in our heart. For some things, that the sound thing was a new thing for Eric, but things that were already there, the giftings that were already there, God began to dream in us, and the idea of missions became more and more of a hunger for me. But I thought to myself, well, I couldn't, I can't go into missions. You know, our life doesn't fit in a mission field. We have five children.
And what's your life supposed to be like to fit in a mission field?
I thought you had to be. I had this idea of a missionary being this lone person going out in the field by themselves in a poor community.
Mm.
You know, that's the idea of mission that I had. You know,
you had a wrong concept.
Yeah, the 1840s missionary. I did not know missions, the fourth wave of missions. There's actually a book called The Fourth Wave of Mission, but that fourth wave of mission is basically God commissioning families to move out into whatever sphere of missions he has you in. That could be in your school, in your neighborhood, in another country. There's many expressions of missions.
Mm-hmm.
But I accepted, you know, for us, I was like, well, I guess we're just missionaries to our church. And my daughter ended up coming up to YWAM with our pastor's grandson.
Which daughter? You've got several kids.
My oldest daughter.
Okay, I met her recently, yeah.
She ended up coming up to Chico to do the summer program at YWAM Chico.
Mm-hmm.
The summer mission program, which is called 180 Missions.
Yeah, used to be called something else.
It used to be called 24/7 when she went, but now it's called 180.
Mm-hmm.
And she went there, and we were living in a very affluent area. She was going to one of the top high schools in the city. In fact, a lot of the rich kids were going there. And the school had a reputation of a lot of drugs, because the kids had access. They had money to get to it. And a lot of the kids, the parents would just, you know, their idea of making up to the kids because they were so engrossed in their careers was buying them cars, giving them credit cards. And, you know, I knew Aja was the type of person at the time that would become the crowd she was with.
Mm-hmm.
So she came to the 180 program, and she encountered God for herself.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got her back, I felt like, you know, there were things when I sent her that I had been praying about, but I never shared with her because I didn't want to put any condemnation on her. And I knew she wasn't aware of these things. And the Lord began to speak to her and teach her these things. And she would call me to say, hey, Mom, I heard God's voice. And he said this, this, and this. And you know what? He's right. And I didn't realize I was doing these things. And those are the things that I had been praying for God to heal her or deliver her from. And so when I got her back, I felt like I had this child that I couldn't raise. I'm like, she was so much more spiritually mature than we were. And I said, God, I have this child that I cannot raise. She's way more mature than her. And you would think that God would go, no, you're not. Don't talk bad about yourself. He agreed with me. He's like, don't worry, I'm teaching her submission. I was like, what? And then it just created this jealousy in me. I'm like, I want that. I want to have this. What do they do there? You know, and Eric and I begin to fast and pray because
that's a good thing.
Missions was very hard on my heart. And he's like, no, I'm going to fund missions. I'm not the missionary.
It wasn't your desire at all, Eric, to do missions, was it?
Not back then. I always thought I would be the person funding missionaries instead of being one.
Send your family off, but forget you. You're just going to fund them, but you're going to sit back and enjoy the work life.
I thought I was funding them, but God was definitely working on me with some things because I started falling in love with running sound and being involved in that type of ministry. And my desire for investments and money was being basically falling by the wayside. Mm-hmm. And but I still needed to read my Bible more and learn more. And so what I started to do, and again, this is going back to God knows us individually, is I started reading more and more scripture about money and finances. And since I knew it so well, I was like, all right, what does the Bible say about those things? And so I started studying that, but I knew that there had to be something else out there instead of the world I was in. And I was going through a period where I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. You know, I was getting tired of the greed. I was just getting tired of everything that had to do with money. And and it almost went, it was almost like the pendulum started swinging too much to the right because I tried to give all that up.
Too much to the right instead of to the left.
Yeah, instead of in the middle where it should be. And so I started really giving all that up until I realized that when we decided to go into missions, God can use everything that I learned in my entire career for
His
purpose, for His glory. And
that's why He allows us and takes us through the things that we go through.
Exactly.
He doesn't waste anything.
He doesn't waste anything.
He doesn't waste your experiences.
He says it won't go void.
Yeah.
His word will not go void. No.
Neither will the opportunities or experiences that we go through. We'll always learn something that will come out of our lives if we keep our focus on Jesus and keep our attention on Him. Something always good will come out of that.
Yeah. God, and that's a very powerful prayer. When you ask God to not allow your pain to go wasted, you know, and you allow it, you say, God, here's what I went through, whether it was of your own doing or not, God will, you know, turn that situation around for your good. Like when we lost everything, that I'm telling you, we with our whole heart say that was the best thing that has ever happened to us, because we would say, oh, we don't need to go to church this way. This week, let's just send God some money. We'll just pay the church. Here, God, have a tip. Here's $1,000. Here's $5,000. You know, we paid God last month. We don't need to go visit the church. And so we lost
that
ability.
Done, not what He's done.
We lost
all that ability to make that wealth, and it was the best thing that had happened to us. And so we go into the desert, and we're in church, and God's speaking through us to every sermon. He's creating identity in us as we're beholding Christ. You know, all our identity issues are falling into place. And I get this daughter back that I feel like I can't even raise, and I want more of what she got. And we begin to fast and pray because we felt released from our church. And we were praying and asking God which way to go. And He gave us a choice. He said, you can go anywhere you want and I'll be with you. And He said, I'm going to restore the wealth that you guys lost. And he said, you could go back to New Jersey with your family. You can go back to Texas. You could stay in Arizona, or you can go to California. And we prayed and fasted, and Eric called me one day at work and he said, God said for us to go to California. And so God said for us to go into missions. And so, we began to change things in our lives, change things in our spending. And, we cut back a lot on things.
Yeah, it was
became good stewards.
Oh, yeah, we became really good stewards. And it's kind of funny because in 2010 or so, we decided to go into missions as a family, especially when we learned that you didn't have to be 18 or 19 years old to be a missionary, that we can actually do it as mm-hmm. a family. We met families on the base and like that. Mm-hmm. And so in 2011, had a great opportunity with this company where I was doing compliance for them, for investments. And so I was working there, I got hired on, and I got promoted within like 9 months. And the company, I told the company from day one that my family were going to go into missions, and they didn't mind. And so it was one of those rare opportunities to work for a company. It was like ridiculous. In an investment community, that's unheard of. Mm-hmm. And I remember going for the interview when I was promoted, and they said, how long do we have you? I was like, well, I'm leaving next year to go on a missions. And, you know, normally they'll be like, okay, we're not going to promote this guy. But they said, okay, you know, we'll promote you.
Hmm.
And
so, that's favor of God.
It was
basically what God. And it, so when we went into missions, we didn't go from a place of God had restored our finances. He
Praise
was
God.
Bringing money in. We were, I mean, I was getting raises. I got a $5 raise at a temp agency, and the temp agency said, I don't know why this, I was working with the same company he was working for. And she was
financial?
Just like, she was just like, I've never seen a company give a $5 raise to someone they wanted to keep, you know? And it was just extraordinary favor
for
God, because we were putting our faith and we were putting our actions towards agreeing with God and what he wanted to do.
And you'll be blessed for that. And you were blessed.
Yeah,
for that.
It was. And that's where the testing came in, because we were blessed where we were still able to, you know, give our tithes and offerings. We were still able to put money away in savings. We were still able to help pay for coming to YWAM.
Mission, yeah.
You know, paid off 2 cars during that time period.
Mm-hmm.
And so saw more job opportunities, more promotions, you know,
more
on the horizon.
More ministry opportunities.
More ministry.
That's awesome. That's God right there.
But then we started doubting, like, okay, is this the right time to leave since all this is happening?
why did doubt come into the picture?
Because we were getting everything we wanted. We had ministry opportunities. The thing that, and God spoke that to my heart. He said, I can give you all the things you want to get out of. We were growing spiritually with our church. We were leading, a Bible study. And, you know, we go back to visit those friends now, and the fruit in their lives from that Bible study is amazing. They are living better than we are. As far as their faith, they've grown faith-wise. They're like a group of people. They fast, you know. They're seeing breakthrough through fasting and prayers as a family. You know, they're getting a lot of breakthrough. So there was a lot of good fruit from the ministry we had. And God said, you can go, you can stay, and you can get all the things you want, you think you're going to get out of your mission expedition. But he said, will you go for the children? I want to do something in your children that they're not getting here. And at the time, our children were, they loved being at church. Mm-hmm. It was their life, because that's what God had sent us to do. And that's what he said for us to do. But there was just this empty, listless look behind their eyes, you know? Mm. And when we stepped into missions, we saw financial miracle. God was multiplying what we had. And there was a time where we had to pray whether we were to go to Guatemala or Brazil.
Oh, and so you were uncertain about that too.
Well, there were some things that God had. We were all going to Brazil to prepare for mm-hmm. the World Cup. We were going to be like the intercessory team to prepare the soil. And something happened with visas, and Brazil just suddenly didn't like the Canadians' visas. And they said, okay, this is God. And, you know, they said, you know, the leaders came to us humbly, said, we were sure God sent us on the path to go to Brazil. this is happening, so God must be saying something else. So we want to take the time to stop and seek his voice as to what we're to do now. And they had come back to us and said, God is telling us we're to split the team up to go part to Brazil, part to Guatemala, but every family is to come to him to find out what his decision is as to where we're supposed to go. We all prayed as a family.
Seeking for direction is always good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we went to the Lord as a family, and we didn't hear anything, my husband and I, except I heard submit to the process. I was extremely frustrated because I didn't want to go to Brazil anyway.
Yeah.
And Guatemala was like, oh, no, you know, why can't we go to someplace glamorous like Spain, you know, or Africa, you know, Brazil?
Mm-hmm. I wanted to go to Fiji, but
we want to do some missionary tourism.
Please don't send me to Africa. Please don't send me.
So, you know what I mean? But yeah. I mean, God will do even in that. You know, we were like, my husband was so anti-Africa. Now he's just like, I think I'm going to Africa because God will.
Wherever
just,
God wants to take you, right?
But yeah. He won't take you. Like, for we're finding that God will lead you in your desires. All of a sudden, you're like, I don't know why I want to go to this island on the beach, you know, because God wants you to do that, you know, just.
Well, my problem is I keep saying never. So I shared this with people. I had at least three top nevers in my life. Number one, I'll never move to California.
You're here.
And I'm here.
We love it.
And number two, I'll never be a missionary.
You're doing it.
It was the third one. Three, I'll never work with youth.
Never say never to God.
I'll never work with youth. We've done that for the past couple of years, and even in Scottsdale. And one of my other nevers was I'll never go to Africa, but God has been working on me on that one.
And he actually wants to go. It's not like God twisted his arm or he's scared, but he's like, I want to go to Africa.
Mine was I'll never be a missionary.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
I wanted to reach people here in the United States. I didn't want to go to another country, but I'm going.
Yeah.
And it's just that you're just like, I have this excitement to do this thing.
Yeah.
You know? And so
nervously, but exciting. Yeah.
I'm frustrated with the process. Like, you know, and Eric is like, I'm not hearing anything. And our kids are starting to see pictures of this and that. And one of my youngest son, he's like so sad because we taught our kids that the Lord will speak to you in different ways and we don't want to limit him. And my son, because everyone's seeing pictures in their mind and, you know, and we're just writing down what we see and they're all rhyming. And my youngest son goes, I didn't see anything. I just heard Brazil.
Oh, praise God. Amen. God spoke Brazil to him. That's awesome.
And then as he said that, and then he realized, wait a minute. Well, I did see a soldier I think he had a gun in his hand and a book in the other hand, and he was standing on a really, really big box. And it was really tall in the sky, and it was raining, and there were palm trees next to him. So I thought, okay, well, you heard Brazil, so we're just going to, by faith, say we're going to Brazil. We get to Brazil, and in the city we were, Sao Paulo, which is known as the Rainy City, we're in the center where the city was founded by the Jesuit priest.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a giant statue on about a 20-foot high podium, a giant statue of the Apostle Paul. And so I thought about the picture that he drew. He drew the soldier, quote unquote, in a long dress, hair only on the top of his head. He drew the book in what he thought was a gun. Well, in the center of the city, there are palm trees lined along the statue, and the statue of the Apostle Paul. He's wearing a long robe. In one hand, he has a cross in between his fingers, and then the Bible in the other,
which would look like a gun almost.
Yeah. And a Bible in the other hand.
Yeah.
And so we're walking past, and that was a divine appointment. There are some street kids that we ended up finding. As we find this statue, we're like, oh my gosh. Caleb, it's the statue you saw when you thought you didn't hear from God.
And God speaks to us in different ways.
Yeah, and one of the other kids saw a fountain. And once we found that, we saw the fountain.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, we saw some street kids bathing in the fountain. Because Brazilians are very clean. And even if they're homeless, if all they have is a water bottle, they're going to bathe at that water bottle. And so we saw some street kids bathing in this fountain of water. And we gave them a piece of gum because we had already eaten our lunch and a hug. And for those street kids, that was huge for them, for someone to hug them. They knew we were missionaries from America. Street kids, they cause a lot of problems for the Brazilians, stealing and hurting people. And so the Brazilians are very, you know, if you look like a street kid, they're like, get away from me, you horrible person.
Yeah.
So we came in and as the quote unquote rich Americans, because a lot of them think Americans are rich. And the fact that we hugged them and didn't hit them meant so much to us, meant so much to them, coming from us. So anyway, God spoke to our kids. He's grown their giftings tremendously since we've been in missions.
Well, we're getting close to ending this because you guys have to get going. So why don't we have Erica, unless there's something else you guys want to share real quick, and why don't we have Eric pray us out?
Sure. And, I just want to say that be open to God, be open to the Holy Spirit, and just allow God to kind of share what he sees in you, and use your ability, use your talents, and just have your heart open up to him.
And don't ever think that because you told him no, that he's angry at you or you've abandoned the plan that he has for you. You may think that God is, because of your age or because of something, that God, that God-given dream you had is dead. But God can resurrect anything. He resurrected our daughter, who the doctors were convinced she was dead. He resurrected my dream for missions, even though I married someone who was, at the time when I married him, he wasn't even saved. You know, I had done everything opposite of what I thought, you know, God wanted to do in my life. And then it ended up being the very thing that I wanted, the only thing I wanted. And God, because he never gives up on pursuing us, and he never abandons his plans, even when we do.
That's right.
God can resurrect anything.
Yes, he can.
He can bring life to anything. So don't ever feel like he's given up on you, or you're too old, or you're too young. Just step out and do what God has called you to do, and expect it to be hard at times, but expect him to step in and be faithful. Always expect. I mean, the sunrise prophesies his goodness. As surely as the sun will rise, God will be good to us, and he'll come to us. And just know that if you submit to him, if you submit your dreams, and you
submit
and you repent, like I had to repent when I said no, and I said, you know, God, remember that no? I'm kind of sorry, but when I stepped on the YWAM campus, I realized that this is what I was made to do. I was made to be in missions. I begin to mourn, because then I realized what it did to God's heart. I begin to feel what he felt at that time. And you know what? He still did it. He did it when the cost to go into missions was more than we were even making a year.
He's the one that provides and supplies.
He did. And so,
look at it with me. I mean, I've only had less than 2 months to have the provision brought in, and within less than 2 months, it's come in.
Yeah, you
know, absolutely.
And I didn't even have to go beg a bunch of people. I didn't have to go, you know, send out a bunch. I sent out some letters, but and be honest with you, I've put it out on the radio before, but the Lord has his way of providing and his way of supplying, and has come in. And if he wants us to go, he will provide. And he's provided for you guys in a lot of different ways.
Oh, yeah. Like when we were 3 days, it was 3 days before we were supposed to get on our flight to Brazil. We still owed $5,500. We didn't have it. We had maxed out all of our money.
Sounds like the Swayzes.
And we had maxed out.
They were the other family with us.
Yeah.
We had maxed out all of our money, and God, some stranger called and paid everyone's flight.
That's awesome. Well, I have some money needed for the trip to China, so I'm praying that all that China trip gets, the schooling's taken care of, but I'm praying that China trip gets taken care of.
Yep.
But God knows, and he's a provider. And
yep.
I want to thank you guys for being on, and why don't, Eric, you close us out. Pray real quick.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time together, Father God, and we just thank you for the opportunity to share your word to everyone out there, Father God, and we just speak life into any dreams or desires that people may think that are dead or that wouldn't have any value in your kingdom. But you can use all experiences, Father God. You can use all experience. You can use all history, Father God. You can use everything for your glory and for your good and for the furthering of the kingdom, Father God. So we just thank you so much for everything that you're doing in our lives. And we just pray a blessing over all the listeners, Father God. And we just pray that faith will just arise up in them and say, yes, you know, I think that this dream of mine is dead, but we just speak life to that dream. God never told you the dream is dead. You know, you may have gone through a season where you had to lay it down and reprioritize on him, but the dream is very much alive. And so we just speak life into everybody that's listening. In Jesus' mighty name.
We agree. And until next week, we'll talk to you guys later. Have a great week.
Inside me, give me passion that pours out to every nation. Yeah. Shine your light, I am yours, Lord. Lift me up, I am no more. Let me live inside your glory, glory now. Shine your light.
Christ Today is a local nonprofit and non-denominational ministry here on KKXX. You can contact Curtis Smith with your feedback toll-free at 855-930-1045. That's 855-930-1045. And join us every Saturday at 11 here on KKXX for more Christ Today.
Here at Sycamore Glen, we actually like to think of ourselves as a senior resort.
Every day is just like home. It is home. I love it here.
We encourage people to come down and visit us and to take a tour, to look around, to have lunch on us or dinner on us and experience Sycamore Glen. Not the lifestyle you need, but the lifestyle you've earned.
That's Sycamore Glen. For more information, call 894-0384.